You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everyone. I'm Anthony Cashman. Thank you for tuning in. We are talking Tigers. We are bringing in Jason Beck, and Beck is still digesting his barbecue from Kansas City. Give me the scouting report on Q39 really quick, Beck.
Well, Q39 was a return trip from last season. I went there. You know what? That Chipotle sausage they have is very good. Chicken is outstanding. Brisket might be the best in town. The ribs were okay, not great. But, you know, certainly if you do want the combo platter, it's hard to walk out of there unsatisfied.
Well, Kansas City has great barbecue. That's a little-known fact. That's the kind of inside info you can only get on this podcast. You can also get some good Tigers info, so we're going to dig into that a little bit with Mr. Beck. I want to ask you, first of all, Beck, since we last spoke, James McCann sprained his ankle, goes on the DL, Jared Saltalamacchia takes over the starting job behind the dish, and he's already got 6 extra base hits on the young season, including 4 home runs. Tigers got this guy for the major league minimum, working out pretty well so far.
Yeah, it's really been almost a godsend for them. I know there was a lot of grinding of teeth there at the end of spring training when they had to decide to keep Saltalamacchia and trade Ryan Holiday. But you know, and they're both oddly enough regular catchers right now. But right now it looks like it's the type of deal that really fulfilled their intention, which was to have a veteran catcher who could step in case James McCann got injured and who could sell him from time to time. You know, he's meshed well with the pitching staff, probably a little bit better than I suspected. He's thrown out some base runners here, you know, kind of defying what I think some expectations were of what his defensive game would be like once he got on the other side of 30. And he's been able to hit for power. It's not necessarily a high average or anything like that, but right now it's that type of game where if you throw him a mistake, he's going to make pitchers pay. And I think if you can get that out of your catcher batting in the 6th or 7th spot, you'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely. You get that thump late in the order, especially from an unlikely source, you'll take that every time. The catching department is not at full strength, but the bullpen is. Alex Wilson and Blaine Hardy have both rejoined the active roster in recent days after some spring setbacks, so they got to like the way that looks right now, too.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they work out the roles now with all these guys back. And Alex Wilson was kind of that do-everything guy for them last year. He started out in long relief, ended up all the way at closer by the end of the season. And now they, with the remade back end of the bullpen, it's a situation where they're going to have to figure out where they can use them. But they have a luxury there where, you know, you can use them for key outs in the 6th inning, maybe the 7th inning, depending on the lefty-righty matchup and how you want to use Justin Wilson, and really kind of pick and choose your spot. And Blaine Hardy, kind of the same thing. He was a primary lefty last year, appeared in 70 games, which was a career high for him. Now he's more of a secondary lefty, maybe even a third lefty, depending on the situation, considering the way Kyle Ryan has gotten off to a pretty decent start. This is a deeper bullpen than they've had in a few years, and it's going to be interesting to see how Brad Austin takes advantage of that. One of the reasons that was cited by Alavila on bringing Austin back for this season was that nobody could have won with this team and that there were problems that nobody could manage with. The bullpen being foremost among them. Now he's got that bullpen where he's got more options than I think he's had at any point during his Tigers managerial tenure.
Yeah, you wonder what some past Tiger teams might look like with this current crop of relievers, and we'll get to see what this current team looks like now that they've got all bodies in tow. Nick Castellanos, we're getting a feel for what this guy might be able to contribute here in the early going. I obviously identified as a breakthrough type candidate going into age 24 season. I think we talked, I think it was last week, back about his 2-strike approach in general. But he's also been much more aggressive on first pitches this season.
Yeah, it's funny. He went from doing a ton of damage with 2 strikes in the opening week to doing a ton of damage on the first pitch last week. He's kind of been odd to watch, except that it's hard to make sense, except that when you look at the stats, he's swinging almost everything, which doesn't sound like a sustainable type of start, but he's been seeing more strikes than I think he really should be. I think people are treating him as if he's the lightweight in the lineup, and he's making pitchers pay. He was getting an unreal amount of first-pitch fastballs for a while. They started pouncing on that. They started changing speeds on the first pitch, and he started hitting those too. I think he had beyond the batting average on balls in play, and on Tuesday it's like 464 or something like that. His swing rate is the highest it's been in his career, granted really small sample size, but his contact rate is also ridiculously high right now. He's one of four major league hitters with enough at-bats to qualify who have yet to draw a walk this season. So some of these things are going to have to change for him to be able to sustain this and really turn this from a hot start into a breakout season. But he's shown some signs of turning that learning curve, which I think the Tigers have been looking to see out of him for a little bit now.
Yeah, the batting average on balls in play is bound to come down, but hopefully that walk rate is bound to go up. 13 strikeouts to zero walks at the moment. That's not a ratio you'd expect to continue. So we'll see what the future holds for that young man. Elsewhere in the infield, how about that? I know it didn't really mean anything to the bottom line, but I love that play with Ian Kinsler intentionally letting the pop-up fall in front of him to have Tyler White on the bases instead of Colby Rasmus. I mean, that was some wily stuff there, Beck.
Yeah, and it seems like a really crazy play unless you know Ian Kinsler. I think in my years of covering the Tigers, he might have the highest baseball smarts of any player I've covered. Just the awareness he's got out there on the field is unreal. He knows what to do in certain situations. He knows the rules up and down. It's one of those things where it hadn't really gotten publicized a whole lot. But he's almost an extension of having a manager or a coach out there. And I think that's been more subtle, and it's been more seen in the development of Jose Iglesias, because he's done a ton of work on the other side of the infield, working with him on the double play combos and also of situational awareness. But plays like that really bring it to the forefront, and it kind of demonstrates that this kid's pretty bright.
He is. Underrated player still at this stage of his career. And I also saw he's now in business with Jack White of the White Stripes in a bat business. So he's got a lot going on, Mr. Kinsler. All right, Beck. I wanted to ask you also about Cameron Maben. I know he was hit by a pitch in the wrist during a rehab assignment, but doesn't seem like it's too serious. What's the latest on his timetable as far as getting back to the big league?
Well, supposedly the x-rays were negative, so that's a huge relief from a Tigers standpoint. Still waiting to figure out when he might return to the lineup. It's certainly going to push back his return type timetable. He seemed to be getting close to return before this happened. I know when they had talked about the rehab assignment, Toledo was supposed to be for the very last few days when he was getting really close enough to being ready where they wanted to see a little bit more advanced minor league pitching. So he'd been up there a few days when this happened. So it might have been right as he was on the cusp of a return. So hoping to get a little bit more clarity here in the coming days on that. But at least it sounds like it shouldn't delay him too terribly long.
Last thing, Beck, how about the old skipper, Jimmy Leland? Going to head up Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. It's good to see him back in action, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's good to see him. In some ways, this situation is crazy because I remember when the World Baseball Classic first got started up, Jim was very hesitant about it. He wasn't sure about the idea of having this interruption in spring training and having guys having to accelerate their readiness per game action, having this type of high profile event going on as guys are normally ramping up their playing time. So he was really kind of on the fence about it. He admitted that, I think, to John Morosi. And now to think of him managing Team USA, it's quite a transition. The flip side, though, I think is that this is kind of a perfect final chapter for his managerial career. It allows him to get back into that managerial mode for a short period of time while avoiding some of the stuff that wore him down, mainly the travel and kind of day-in, day-out grind. I said this really could end up being a perfect venue for him. And consider the reputation he has as far as being able to manage superstars, he might have ended up being the ideal candidate for this role. I'm going to be fascinated to see how it plays out, and also what type of influence he has on roster selection. You might see some surprising choices here if he makes out a roster designed to win as opposed to a roster designed with a bunch of stars in mind.
Yeah, I think he'll be very smart about that. And to your point, Beck, I think he'll be a great recruiter for this project, because a lot of guys will certainly appreciate the opportunity to play for him. One last time, I want to thank Jason Beck for joining us. We'll check in with him each week during the 2016 season. And thank you all for tuning in. It's been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.